Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I have to admit to you this morning as I stand here, I've been in the ministry for 30 years. This is actually the first time that I've taken on this text and preached on it. It was assigned to me. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10, which you heard read of all the texts for a Lutheran pastor to have somehow avoided for all those years. It doesn't make sense, but it is good to take a look at God's Word and share it with you this morning. You know, the season of Lent is a time for us in the rhythm of our Christian life, which can be a very powerful and very blessed time, because it is a time for us to consider our condition and to consider the cross and to consider the Christ who bled and suffered and died there so that he might change the outcome for us eternally. And that's exactly where God takes us this morning in this particular scripture, from death to life, from doom to glory, from inability to service and mission. I think that there are two ways that you can look at this text, maybe any text, I don't know. One is theoretical and is impersonal. It's a theological treatise on our own human inability to rescue ourselves from death and hell and the rescue that comes to us through the grace of God in Christ Jesus, our Savior. The second is to take these words and eat them, as Jeremiah did, or to marinate ourselves in them and just let them soak into the very depths, the core of who we are. And the first one is accurate and helpful, but I really think the second way is what God has in mind for us as we take a look at his word and as we consider its activity in our own lives and in the lives of those whom we touch. I think it's far more powerful. After all, Christianity is not first theologizing, but it is proclaiming news, good news, which leads us to Christ. And so that's where the text takes us this morning. But it starts with me. As for you, Peter, you were dead in your transgressions or your trespasses and sins. I'm not sure that I can really fully understand the depth of what that means for me. After all, I was baptized as an infant, and I don't know what it was like. At least I don't remember what it was like to be dead in my transgressions and sins, to be really dead. I do know a few things, however, about my transgressions and sins. I'm not going to tell you all about them, but I think all of us can identify there. And all of us, I think, really need to struggle a little bit with the fact of what these transgressions and sins really have to do for us in our own lives, how serious they are and how doomed we are because of them. I can't help but think of Bo Geert's illustration in his wonderful classic, The Hammer of God, of the farmer who picks rocks. You know that one? He goes out and he picks rocks and he picks more rocks and he picks more rocks from his field, and then the next year, next spring, he's out there picking rocks all over again, and so he decides he's going to rid the field of all the rock, and he digs them all out till he hits granite. And he can't go any farther. And it goes deep and it's wide. And so it is with us. We can never get to the bottom of our transgressions and sins. And I think that's the message that St. Paul has for us, that God has for me. No one really knows how deep sin goes, and we can't really fully comprehend what that means, how dead and how doomed we were, the world is, because of it, helpless. There's no way out. No way out. Paul mentions it not just once here in verse 1 right off the bat, but then again in verse 5. Dead in your trespasses. Dead. It's like a double barrel. Both of them hit me. I know some of my sins and some of my transgressions. Maybe not all of them, not the depths of them, but I know some. And it's dark, and it's actually scary dark when I think of what Paul says in here, that I could be and was an object of God's wrath. An object of God's wrath. Wow, verse 3. That's why verse 4 is dynamite. It's the dynamite that blasts the granite to smithereens. Verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love for us, made us alive with Christ, even though we were dead in trespasses. You are saved by grace. But God, I am a poor, miserable sinner. I confess it, you confess it, we all say those words, but I really am. And even though I don't know the depths of it, I'm doomed. But, kaboom, God, in his grace and mercy, God who is rich in mercy, God who loves me with a love that I can hardly even begin to fathom, this God made me, made you alive in Christ, even though I was dead in my transgressions. By grace, I've been saved. But God, God loves me with a greater love than I can fathom. The God who made me alive with Christ, even though I was dead, this God has raised me up, I'm told, and seated me with Christ. And he did that for me in my baptism. What a glorious day. And he's united me with Christ, and he has a purpose for me, and the purpose is right here, verse 7, so that in the coming ages he might display the immeasurable riches of his grace through his kindness to us, to me, in Christ Jesus. And not only to me, but to you too. God's purpose is this: in Christ, God has chosen me. God has given me life and given you life too, so that through me and so that through you too, God can show the world just how rich in grace and how kind he is to sinners. What a glorious thing his grace is. And the fact that he wants to do it through me, the fact that he does it through you as we go about our days, as we are going, and we love and we bless one person at a time. We tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. He does it through me. He does it through you. As I proclaim the good news from a pulpit or in a pub, in a private or a public space, God, who is rich in grace, has shown me the incomparable riches of his grace so that I can be here today sharing with my EIIT brothers and sisters and with you, and so that I can partner with God every day in his mission. God, who is rich in grace, has shown you his grace so that you might do the very same thing, those good works which God has prepared for you as you are going about in your daily life. And that's what we're here to do, of course, at the seminary, but don't limit it to just what's happening at the seminary as you get ready to go out and be assigned to a vicarage or receive your call and become ordained as a pastor. No, those good works that God has prepared for you are your daily joy and delight, whatever station you occupy in life, with every person you meet and every place you go, because you are alive in Christ. So let me leave you with this thought then. Who are the two or three persons in your life that you know, who may be far from God, for whom you can pray daily that God might use you to introduce them to your friend Jesus? Who are the two or three persons to whom you can share that amazing kindness of God which you yourself have received in Christ Jesus? I pray this is a reality for you, that God makes it a reality in your life. It's what keeps me going. Please pray with me. We give thanks to you, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for the riches of your mercy and for the power of your grace in our lives. Lead us in our lives to do those good works which you have prepared in advance for us to do as we are going. To your glory, we ask it, and not to ours. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all of our understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.